OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet.
Consumer prices surged in April.
And it's reflecting both some supply shortages, but also just strengthening overall demand for lots of goods and services. We saw prices rise broadly for food, apparel, cars, services, gasoline. You know, it's due to a lot of factors.
We'll talk about whether it's just a blip or if higher inflation is here to stay. And House Republicans oust Congresswoman Liz Cheney from the party's leadership. Plus, why the future of air travel might be cleaner than ever. It's Wednesday, May 12th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. stocks extended their declines today after new data showed a rise in consumer prices last month. The Dow fell about 682 points, or 2%, and the S&P 500 fell 2.1%. It marked their steepest three-day declines in nearly 7 months. The Nasdaq fell nearly 2.7%. Our markets reporter Mike Wursthorn has more.
Investors coming into Wednesday had certainly expected to see higher inflation through this data. The magnitude of it was what really surprised investors. And whenever there's a surprise, that's never a great thing for markets, because now investors need to sort of go back to the drawing board, just figure out where things are going to go from here. So, you know, at this point, investors are thinking about what the knock-on effect is for the Federal Reserve and for interest rates. That's their immediate thought. The higher inflation goes, the more concern there is about an overheated economy. So to rein that in, the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates. They've said that they're willing to let things run hot. So the market's been told numerous times that the Fed isn't going to move just because of a few data points. But still, this has put the wheels in motion where investors have to consider this likelihood much more strongly than they did before.
We'll talk more about the impact of inflation on consumers and the economy coming up later in the show. A federal advisory panel recommended use of Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine in children ages 12 to 15. U.S. regulators approved the shot for adolescents on Monday, and some parts of the country have already begun inoculating children. But most providers were waiting for a formal recommendation from the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices before moving forward. The recommendation becomes policy after it's signed by the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. House Republicans stripped Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney from the party's leadership over her criticism of former President Donald Trump. Cheney has pushed back on Trump's baseless claims that the 2020 election was stolen from him. And she was one of just 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump following the January 6th Capitol riot. Cheney spoke briefly today after the vote.
I think that it is an indication of where the Republican Party is, and I think that the party is in a place that we've got to bring it back from, and we've got to get back to a position where we are a party that can fight for conservative principles, that can fight for substance. We cannot be dragged backward by the very dangerous lies of a former president.
Amazon has won its appeal in a major tax dispute in the European Union. The bloc's top antitrust authority has been working to wring more taxes from big tech companies, and in 2017 ordered Amazon to pay $300 million in what it alleged were unpaid taxes. But the EU's second highest court said regulators had failed to prove Amazon had an illegal advantage, which was a central part of their argument. Amazon said it welcomed the decision. It's unclear whether the EU will appeal. After the break, the latest data on consumer prices and what it means for the economy.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
If you've thought that prices seem to be rising for almost everything these days, you're not imagining it. consumer prices soared in April. The Labor Department reported today that the Consumer Price Index, which measures what consumers pay for goods and services, rose 4.2% last month from a year earlier. That's the biggest 12-month increase since the summer of 2008. The increase was larger than what economists had expected, and it's raising concerns about inflation. Joining me now with more on what that means for consumers and the economy is Wall Street Journal economics editor Nell Henderson. Hi, Nell. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks, Anne-Marie. My pleasure.
So, Nell, tell us what the latest CPI numbers tell us. Where are we seeing prices rise?
Yeah, all over the place. Basically, the overall CPI is telling us inflation is back. Consumer prices surged in April, largely as the economic recovery picked up. And it's reflecting both some supply shortages, but also just strengthening overall demand for lots of goods and services. We saw prices rise broadly for food, apparel, cars, services, gasoline. You know, it's due to a lot of factors.
Now, what else can you tell us about what's behind these increases and why the number is rising so quickly?
The broad increase kind of reflects the big boom in consumer spending now that the pandemic is letting up. You know, more people are vaccinated, business restrictions are falling, households have stimulus checks and lots of savings, and interest rates are super low. The problem is consumer demand is coming back faster than businesses can reopen their operations. So we're seeing, for example, you know, airfares and hotel rooms rates rising as consumers start traveling again after a year of restraint during the pandemic. We're also seeing lots of price jumps due to shortages of supplies, such as a good one is for new and used cars. A lot of manufacturing plants have closed because they don't have chips for new cars, but people need cars, so they're buying used cars, which has created a shortage of used cars. The price for used autos surged 10% in April compared to the prior month, and that's the largest monthly increase on record. And then meanwhile, like the rent-a-car companies are charging more because they don't have enough cars. Meanwhile, many companies are raising prices because they're paying higher prices for the things they need to make goods and provide services. So for like crops, they, you know, if you need oats for Cheerios or, you know, corn for corn dogs or chicken for chicken wings, they're also paying more for gasoline. They're paying more in wages for truckers to move the goods across country. And some prices are rising because of shortages of workers in some areas, because many people are still staying out of the labor force for a bunch of reasons. Many people are still afraid of COVID, fear of the infection. Schools are still closed or partly remote in many places, which makes it hard for parents to go back to work. A lot of people are getting enhanced unemployment benefits, which makes it easier to stay out of the labor force. And then there are also some skills mismatches. A big factory needs more workers. That doesn't necessarily mean the waitress who lost her job when her restaurant closed is going to have the skills for that job. So it's a sort of a mismatch throughout the entire economy between supply and demand of a lot of inputs and outputs.
So we know the Federal Reserve is watching inflation very closely. It has a 2% target for inflation and does expect a temporary climb. But how do we know if this is temporary or if we're in for a longer haul of increasing prices?
Well, we'll see. So as I just said, a lot of the price increases that are due to shortages or bottlenecks are probably temporary. So for example, when the car factories get more chips, they'll make more cars. We're also seeing some statistical quirks that are boosting the annual inflation rate, and those should fade over time. But there also could be upward pressure on wages for a while if the labor shortages continue. Now, that could occur, for example, if we get another infection wave or if the schools have to close. And also in the long run, you know, our population is aging and growing more slowly, which could add to labor shortages over time. You know, if the Fed officials themselves think this surge will be primarily transitory, with inflation rising this year above its target of 2% and then falling back to 2% by the end of next year.
Now, if that doesn't happen, what are the concerns and how might the Fed act if we see inflation running too high or for too long?
Fed officials say that if they are wrong and they see what they call a material and persistent rise in inflation beyond what they're expecting, they will raise interest rates to tamp down demand and keep inflation under control. And we've seen them do this in the past. But there are a couple worries there. One, some analysts worry the Fed is underestimating the threat and may be too slow to act, and that would let inflation take off for a while. So that hurts the economy, hurts consumers, businesses, et cetera. But then it also could force the Fed to raise rates more than they plan, more aggressively than they expect to, or more abruptly, which causes all sorts of problems for consumers, workers, businesses, and investors.
What else does this mean for consumers? What should they be expecting?
Well, okay, a lot of things. So in the short term, higher inflation hurts consumers, particularly low-income households who have to pay for stuff. You know, if you've got, you know, a limited income and you've got kids to feed or, you know, tuition to pay or medical bills, the more money you're shelling out for gasoline or for diapers is less money for everything else. So obviously, that's the kind of first order effect. And even if it's temporary, that is harder. But it also makes it harder for businesses to plan. It makes it harder for them to know how to set the menu prices, how much to charge for Cheerios. It could hurt their profits if they can't pass on all their costs through higher prices to consumers. If businesses' profits are squeezed, that hurts the stock market, that hurts their share prices, etc. The other thing that could be problematic is if the Fed decides that this is more permanent and more serious, and they have to raise rates. If they raise rates a lot, that itself causes all sorts of problems, causes serious disruptions in the stock markets and other financial markets that are very sensitive to inflation and interest rates. It makes it harder to buy a home. Mortgage rates go up. And overall, broadly, interest rates slow down economic growth. And that can cause, if it goes too far, it can cause a recession, which can mean job losses. So, a lot of people today don't remember the terrible inflation of the 70s, which really led the Fed to raise interest rates a lot under Chairman Volcker in the 80s. And it was very, very painful. And it's partly because of that pain that the Fed has been so vigilant about inflation ever since, almost taking it too far. We've had very low inflation for many years. Part of the reason the Fed would like to see inflation go up a bit is because it's been below their 2% goal for so long.
That's Wall Street Journal economics editor Nell Henderson. Nell, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And finally, as air travel starts picking back up again, what should travelers expect? Will flying look like it did before the pandemic, or will certain changes stay with us? At the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything Festival this week, Delta Airlines CEO Ed Bastian gave his predictions for what air travel might look like in the coming years, including cleaner cabins and some continued measures to keep germs from spreading.
You want people to feel confident, to feel safe in their environment. That's true in the airport environment as well as on the plane itself. We'll be wearing masks for a while. I think masks, hopefully by the time the pandemic is declared to be over. Not that the disease is going to disappear, but the pandemic phase is going to be over. Hopefully masks will come off, so maybe by the fall. But I think you'll still see people wearing masks. You know, we know in Asia, for example, it's common practice to wear masks. I think there's some people that are going to be more comfortable wearing masks going forward. We can't forget the tragic impact this has had on so many people's lives, so many people lost, so many people affected by what's happened here. I think there's behavioral changes that will take place.
You can see more highlights from the festival at WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.